Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for your energy exchange with us today. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. We have Sherry DeBann with us, and she owns a wellness and healing center in Bethesda, Maryland, and is on a mission to assist in the elevation of the planet through transformational healing. Sherry is also an intuitive, multidimensional energy healer, hypnobirthing practitioner, and author of Intuitive Transformation, Evolution, and Divinely Guided. Sherry, did I say your last name okay?
DeBann, yeah.
DeBann, okay, right on
there. Now, there was about 10 other things listed in her credentials, but I shrunk it down.
Well, we're going to have her websites and everything, everybody, for you to be able to check her out and find out how you can connect with her. I'm sure you're going to love this because she's going to be talking about that crystal star, rainbow hybrids, and a new group called the Divine Children. I've never heard about that, so I'm pretty anxious to hearing about that. But before we get to Sherry.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for watching the shows. If you're new, we are on BitChute and YouTube and OogTube and Twitter. And our membership site that has all of our full videos, Spiritually Raw Live. And you can tune in and watch all of those for free for 3 days and watch as many as you want, enjoy all of them. And for YouTube, please do make sure to hit the thumbs up and the notification bell. So when we do put the videos out, you'll get a notification right away, because we know YouTube's a little funny sometimes.
Right on, everybody. Thank you very much. Enjoy me, everybody, and welcome to Sherry to the show. How are you, Sherry?
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Our pleasure. I love your office. Your space is really...
It's got a nice vibe.
I know. It's like very like zen, very like, Yeah. I already feel calm and peaceful.
Thank you. So let's dive right in if we can. We really want to help, especially during these times, as always, really just try to help bring as much peace, you know, to everybody as possible. And thank you for stepping up and sharing this with us, that your experience and everything, your little bit of your backstory, what got you into doing what you're doing right now? So where were you at before, and why are you where you're at now?
So it's an interesting story. So I am a registered veterinary technician by trade. So I've been working with animals for, 18 plus years.
Aww.
So I started medically based. And so when I was working with animals in the intensive care unit for a very long time, I wanted to learn energy healing for them, because it was there's so much medicine involved that I thought there has to be another way. And so I learned Reiki for the animals. And then I moved to DC. I worked at the zoo for quite some time with the exotic animals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So primarily my interest has always been animals, but then I started having children, and then I started to think about the earth and, how to raise them and the world that we live in, and how can I make it a better place? And I thought, well, maybe I should start helping people, because we need this kind of energy healing as well. So then I kind of transitioned into working with people.
When you were at the zoo, were you actually doing Reiki to the animals at the zoo?
Yeah, I was. I mean, not that it could hurt or harm any of them, but I had to be kind of quiet about it. You know, a lot of the technicians that my friends knew I was doing it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like I broadcasted it out, mm-hmm. because, I didn't want to make anyone uncomfortable. But I had some keepers actually invite me to their areas to work on the animals to do Reiki.
Wow. So give us the
finally recognized.
That's cool. Before we dive into and I want to really get to this Divine Children. I never heard about that till I spoke to you earlier. But give us the theory behind Reiki. So is it just kind of like people say, well, I can do distance Reiki healing. I mean, what's the theory behind it? Like, how does it actually work?
So when I explain it to people, I like to think about it as the umbrella of energy healing. Reiki is like a sliver. So Reiki is a form of energy healing, but it's just one mechanism. So the overall purpose of it is to channel energy from the universe, high vibrational energy, into the body to help accelerate healing, raise the person's vibration or your own, to help with mental clarity, overall wellness. And so, I mean, you could do it for just about anything, but Reiki is just one form. So I work multidimensionally. I work with other beings. I remove lower vibrational energy from people's fields because, you know, all illnesses are emotionally based first. So emotions have energy, or emotions are energy rather. It's just the vibrational frequency of that. So if you have low vibrational energy, it causes disease in the etheric fields and into the physical body. So I work outside of the body, and then I go in through the chakras. So you don't, you know, there's no time and space with healing. So I can work with somebody thousands of miles away. You don't have to be in the same space as them.
Would you say, do all illnesses, no matter what they are, come or stem from emotional discord, or are there some illnesses that don't fall under that category?
Okay, so this is an interesting question, because my first book is most of the book is based on emotional well-being and how we have a lot more control over our wellness than we think we do. So I would say yes, a majority of illnesses are emotional based and energy based. That being said, there are a small percentage of people that come into the earth that sign up. This is a hard concept for people to grasp, but people do actually sign up to get cancers or certain illnesses, or come in mentally with different abilities, let's say, for the learning of others. So I would say 90% people are, their disease comes from emotional, energetic frequency vibrations. Mm-hmm. And then a small percentage, let's say 10%, come in like knowing ahead of time that they're going to contract cancer.
That's just to be able to, Sherry, then just to be able to be a service to others so they can help that.
Yeah. So those are high, like evolved, very wisdom oriented beings that come into this earth, you know, to contribute to humanity.
When they do that, when they come to earth, do they be like, are they like, well, what the hell did I just do? Do they realize?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? When they're out there, I would imagine they're very different. Oh, no problem.
And then
they're like,
oh
my gosh. You know, is it like
what
that?
What the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's everybody, right? Because I believe we all come in and sign up for certain things. So anytime anything's like you're struggling, you're like, why did I sign up for this? Because we have that veil over us that we forget. And then we come down, and then we're in the earth. And, you know, this vibration, the third dimension, is very dense, and we're influenced heavily by the energy around us. And the more vulnerable we are, the more sensitive we are, the more difficult our time here is. So you forget. So then you're wondering, gosh, did I do something horrible in a past life to deserve something like this? And that's not always the case, but we don't recognize it on a conscious level. It's all in your higher self knows everything, but the conscious mind is more analytical and earthbound. So we don't always remember.
So
that's fascinating.
It is. Infants, babies, very young children that contract cancer or some awful disease. Is it stemming from their home environment, or is it stemming from something that happened during a pregnancy? Why do little innocent children get terminal illness?
Okay, so this is a loaded question, and there's a lot.
And
the answer is multidimensional, and there's not one right answer. So, like, let's take autism, Asperger's, leukemia, those type of things. I would say majority of those children come in knowing that, like, that's planned. Mm-hmm. Okay, because they're there to help most likely the parents. So they're coming in, and I'm going to teach my parents something. I'm going to teach them patience. I'm going to teach them a variety of things. So they've signed up for that. Now there are those that are, so when we start to talk about children a little bit more specifically in a minute, these new age children, or whatever you want to call, are very high vibrational. So they're more sensitive to the earth, the heavy metals, the vaccines, the food, the GMOs. So then there are those that get diseases from the outward influences. So there's two things I like to refer to. When we get sick, or our emotional frequency shifts, are outward influences and inward. So inward is our emotions and how we react, right? That's what I talk about in the book. So we can get disease. We can decide how mad we're going to stay for however long. I'm going to be mad at you for 5 seconds, or it's going to linger. And that's going to cause disease. It's going to bother me. It's not going to bother you. Then there are outward influences. So how sensitive am I to electromagnetic waves, or the vaccines that I've just taken, or medicine? So you see there's kind of a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Children can be a little bit more vulnerable to those things.
So is there anything to the point of like, you know, where they say like getting the autism, and there's a lot of theory behind the fact that the autism is comes from the vaccines, right? So yeah. If the children came down here, did they come in? Help me through these breadcrumbs, if we could, Sherry. If they came here and made a decision, did they already know that, okay, we're gonna take this vaccine, so maybe we're gonna get autism or be diagnosed as autistic, and then from there that'll be our contribution to humanity to help provide more research for it? Do they know it from that level? Or is it simply the vaccine that just does what it is? So I guess in essence, are they there to try to combat the vaccines that are coming through right now?
Exactly. Well, okay, so I don't want this to get into a vaccine discussion because I don't want to get in trouble with my opinions, because it is my opinion. However, I do believe that they are creating the discussion around it so that our vaccines are hopefully will be more safe as we move forward in future generations, if that makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, cool. Fair enough there. All right, so speaking of children, you know, you brought up something called the Divine Children. Right. So the Divine Children coming in existence, and something here, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but they're coming into Earth starting 2019 as of last year, and it's 2019 to 2023.
That's correct.
So so these Divine Children are in a 4-year window, right?
Exactly. They've already started coming. Yep.
They've already come in, and then 2023 is it when they stop coming, or is it?
So if you think about it, it's been explained to me is, if you think about, okay, this actually ties into what we talk about recently with the ascension or the Great Awakening. So the Earth has finally gotten to a frequency or a high enough where the collective consciousness, this is really cool actually, because I didn't tie this together until very recently. So it's not even in the book, the Divinely Guided book. So the collective consciousness, we've reached this point where we are starting the transition into the higher vibration or the fifth dimension, right? So if you think about that, 2019, when the Divine Children started coming in, to 2023, they are aligning that them coming in with the Great Awakening, because they're here to anchor us into that higher frequency.
Got it. Okay. Yep.
They are anchors. So they come in, and they don't have to be, you know, adults to anchor. They just have to be born. Their vibration is so high that they on the Earth's plane, because what happens is they are anchoring us in as we transfer into that fifth dimension, and they will keep us there. So it's all divine timing. We see
that's
how that
amazing works. And a 4-year window is not a long window.
No.
So does that mean then that
the number in the Bible, what is that number with the why can't I think of that one number?
Can I ask my question until you remember it? Can I? So is that 2019 to 2023, is that the Great Awakening period then? So at 2023, is that when the Great Awakening, let's call it, you know, is pretty much over?
I don't know. I had a feeling you were going to ask me that, and I don't know the answer. What I do know is that the vibration of the planet and the collective consciousness of the people who are already here, combining that with these new children coming in, I believe we're going to be at a point where we don't need them to anchor us in anymore. So they're no longer going to need to be born in, but we're still going to be evolving. I believe once we get into the fifth dimension and we're anchored in, and we don't allow the lower vibrational energy in anymore, that third dimension, it will slowly dissolve. We'll be able to go to the sixth, seventh, and eighth and higher dimensions much more quickly.
These children, after 2023, and they've done their job, do they start to go back home to the source, or do they still remain here for the most part?
No, they're living out their lives here, and they're going to bring in the next generations. But it's before them. I don't want to discount the other children that are here first, that have been here, because it seems like such a small window of time, but it really isn't, because we have to think about the crystals and the stars and the rainbows and all of those children that have come before, that have really set the foundation. So when these Divine Children come in, they're able to really do their job very fast. But it's not just that small window of time that all of this is happening. That we have been building up to this point for quite some time.
So it's like a recon mission, right?
Yeah.
Setting it up.
Yes.
So yep. can we go through the levels of the crystal, the star, the rainbow, and the hybrids, and what each of their particular roles are, and how are they different from one another?
Okay, so the crystal children we'll talk about first. So those are our teenagers right now. You know, they could be in their early 20s and still being born at this time, but I would say majority of them are teens right now, early 20s. And they are the most compassionate, kind, filled with wisdom. They're very earthbound, so they're into crystals, animals, conservation. They are here to fill our hearts with love. So all these adults walking around that are filled with anger, these children are bringing love to the planet. Their vibration, their frequency is just pure love. So they don't understand hate. They see kids being bullied. They see the news. They hear about something that fear-based or anger-based, and they literally don't understand what it means because they don't vibrate from a lower frequency. So these teens are walking around like they're super nice, they're compassionate, they're empathetic, they have this wisdom about them, and they're friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. And if there's an argument going on, they're not going to get involved. Like if anything, they kind of recluse, like they're very uncomfortable in those types of situations.
You know who fits that bill? The kid, remember Sandman?
The Nicholas Sandman?
Nicholas Sandman. Remember the one that was sitting there at a Trump rally?
And
he fits that bill perfectly.
Yes,
exactly. He was cool as a cucumber.
Exactly.
You couldn't rattle him.
Yeah. I have, you know, my oldest son is a crystal and he does not like confrontation. He wants to please his parents, his teachers. He's just the most even keel, nicest kid you'll ever meet. Just calm and very loving.
Hmm. Yeah.
When you go to them, so that was the crystal children. Then what about star children?
The star children came in next. So they're, you know, going through their early adolescence right now. But again, any of these can be outside of the window. But yeah. A majority of that. Yeah. Okay. So they are, they're just as compassionate as kind, but they do have a backbone. They're very analytical. So these are the individuals that are kind of change the trajectory of how we work, how we think, how we live, education system, political system. Like they're here to dismantle all of that, break it down, analyze it, and figure out a better way. So they have the compassion, the empathy behind them, but they're thinkers, they're analytical. They want to find a better way for pretty much every aspect of life. They don't like to be told no. They need an explanation. You know, why? Why are you telling me? Let's have a conversation about it. Whereas crystals will just say, okay, whatever you want, as long as you're happy. Mm-hmm. Stars are not like that. They need to be explained. They need to explain to them. So they might have a little bit of difficulty in school because if they're not jiving with what the teacher's telling them, they'll break down and they need to.
They're just shut down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So every category, each one of these children have, you know, what we would call side effects. Crystals are what we deem super sensitive. So they cry really easily. They get hurt really easily. Stars are stubborn, rigid. And you know what I'm saying? So they're a little bit more challenging. Yeah.
Do these children, do they, once they grow into an adult, are they still the same type of this demeanor with them? Are they still considered crystal or star once they get into adulthood? Or they break out of childhood, they're kind of like now a new evolution for them?
No, they'll remain forever.
They will remain?
Yeah, it's just a name to categorize their characteristics. That's really all it is. So
it does fit the category of the ages you're describing. The rainbow, is that separate from indigo?
So indigos are adults. So like, you know, I'm a hybrid, but indigos are anywhere from the hippie generation, you know, 60s up until right before the crystals came in the late 80s. So they're the adults. So they came in first to kind of set the foundation, and then the crystals came, and then they did their kind of mark, and then the stars come, and then the rainbows are next. So the rainbows are a combination of all. So they are indigo, crystal, and star. Like they have the characteristics of all of them.
And they would be what age bracket now? Would they be like 5, 6, 7, 8?
And yeah, exactly, like 8 or less.
Or less.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned hybrid. That was interesting there. So can you explain what a hybrid is? What does that mean?
So a hybrid is going to be a mixture between two. So I know I just said rainbow is a mixture of all of them, but a hybrid is generally a mix of two. So I'm an indigo, but I have crystal in me. I know it. So I have that super sensitive, compassionate side. I love crystals. I'm very connected to the earth, but I'm also the indigo generation. So a lot of the children can be hybrid. So they could be star and crystal, or they could be, you know, you can mix the two together. And that's really, and the reason for that is that they want to have a more of a variety. So it's not so rigid in the category, so that they can kind of blend over.
So these other children, whether they be star, crystal, indigo, rainbow, divine, whatever. So are they new to this earth when they're coming in like that? Or have they been here in other lifetimes
like
before?
Old souls?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because crystals, like, so indigos, crystals, and stars tend to have recycled or had many lifetimes. So they're very evolved. They have a lot of wisdom behind them to carry forward their mission. But rainbows and divine, the newer ones, do not, because they need to come in with little to no karma. They're not really here to learn anything. You know, a lot of us keep coming back because we need to learn lessons, or we need to right our wrongs, or whatever people say, but they're not here to do that. They're here to elevate the vibration of the planet to save us, so that we can get rid of all this evil and lower vibrations that's infiltrated us for such a long time. That's why they're here. That's their purpose. And so they're on a mission.
What happens in the year of 2023? Is it going to be a new sector of children, or just at that point, the vibration of the planet is going to be so elevated or so raised that every new birth coming in is going to naturally come in at a higher vibration?
Yeah, so that's the way I understand it. I feel like once we pass that 2023 mark into 2024, we'll be at a higher vibration that we won't be dealing with the thought. I believe that at that point, the third dimension, because I don't think that we have this 3D to 5D split that a lot of people are talking about, where it's black and white. Mm-hmm. I feel as though it's going to be more of a gradual fade. So as we anchor into the higher frequency, the lower third dimension will kind of work its way out, and people will either die off over time with age. No new souls will be born into that dimension. And they will just kind of separate and then dissolve into nothing. And so when 2023, 2024 comes, like, that won't exist anymore.
Wow.
Is the third dimension considered the lower energy?
Yeah, it's a lower vibrational frequency. So that's that's what we're dealing with right now. We have all the fear, hate, mm-hmm. resentment, power, all of that, all the dark entities feed off of that. And so we're trying to move out of that, so we don't have to deal with that anymore. And divine children are incredible because they have a super consciousness. And this is really cool. I don't know if many people are talking about it, but you've heard of collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. So we all have the ability to collectively have an awareness where we can communicate and have an abundance of knowledge if we just tap into it. The super consciousness of the divine children is really cool because they can connect to one another. So there'll be 20, 30,000 of them that are strategically placed all over the planet. I believe the first one was born in Japan in January of 2019. Wow. So they're born in every star cycle. So every month there has to be at least one, and they're spread out all over the world. And they have a collective super consciousness. So they have an awareness where they can communicate and share experiences with one another. I've never even heard of that happening before.
So they're like all telepathically connected to one another?
They can tap into each other. And, wow. And to take that to another level, that they are protected. So imagine, you know, I'm out on the street. I'm more vulnerable to negative energy infiltrating me if I'm not a high vibration, if I'm vulnerable, right? They could try to take me down. You can't do that with the divine children because you'd literally have to take down the whole network. So they cannot be infiltrated by evil, which is, I've never heard of that before.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
So their divine children that come in, they don't necessarily are just protecting their people that they were born with, their parents that they were born with. They're actually in that geographic area per se. They're, you know, all of us.
I'm sorry, say that again.
So the divine children coming in right now, they're not necessarily just there to protect their parents, right? They're just everybody, right?
No, so everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Because their vibration is so high that they affect anybody that comes into contact with them. You don't even need to talk to them because we can get into imprinting, but they imprint the person's energetic field, wow. raises the vibration. And they affect change. These are kids that will be instant healers. They telepathically communicate. You know, they're so powerful. Their vibration is so high that they haven't been able to incarnate in this planet yet, because we haven't, the Earth has not been in a vibration that's high enough to hold. Our bodies can't
hold. That gives me chills.
Our bodies can't hold the high vibration that they're coming in. They, what's cool about them is that they have to integrate their physical and metaphysical over a span of 5 to 6 years. And taking that one step further or backwards, I guess, they have an etheric pregnancy with their mother, which means that they have to integrate energetically first for roughly almost a year. And the fetus, or the energy of the fetus, slowly integrates with the mother's body outside first energetically, and then the pregnancy takes place. So unfortunately, a lot of these moms I've heard would have difficult pregnancies or perhaps a few miscarriages first, because it's an abundance. It's such a high vibration that the mom really has to be ready for it. And then these children go through stages in their early development up until about 5 years old, where their energy starts to integrate even more, because their body cannot withstand their vibration. So it has to happen very slowly. And then from what I understand, by the time they're 5 or 6, they're fully integrated with their vibration that they're meant to be in. So they can't even be in that vibration when they're born. They have to work up to it, because our body isn't quite ready.
So that they're literally coming to the planet already infused and understanding the knowledge of Christ consciousness.
Yes. So they are, from what I know, so this is my knowledge, they are one of the first that are being allowed to come to Earth without the veil. So, you know, we have that veil, so we forget. Most of us don't remember. They remember. They don't have that veil. So they come in and they know right away.
One quick thing, because I thought I heard you say there's only like one here, one there, one here, one there. But, or is it every child that's born between 2000, they're selected?
No, it's not every child that's born.
It's not every child.
Ripples coming in, there's still rainbows, there's still stars. They're not all divine children in that period, no.
So how about when we're working through this? If they're aware and they don't have the veil, right? If they don't have the veil, do they ever get back again? Getting back to my point we spoke about earlier, is there a point in time where they do want to go back home? You know, do they feel compelled to drawn back to where they came from?
Yes, they, but this is a whole nother conversation, but I feel like we're going into a period, like they're going to set the trajectory of this, where we go back more into the Atlantean and Lemurian times, where we're moving into this time and space with med beds and all of these things and higher vibrational frequencies, less pharmaceuticals, because just to pivot for 1 second, all of these children that I'm talking about, and as they get older, you'll start to see this more, are not responding the same to pharmaceuticals. They don't do as well with processed foods, and divine is going to be even more like that. So we're going to have no choice but to have alternative treatments for these kids.
Right, because their bodies reject it.
Exactly. So their parents are going to be seeking out, okay, I need energy healing, I need acupuncture. They're not going to have a choice. It's just going to happen. So moving forward as they grow, I feel like that their next generations after them are going to be those that stay here as long as they want. So they could choose, perhaps.
Tell me a little bit more about this imprinting we just touched on earlier. What exactly that mean?
So imprinting is really cool, because if you think about it, a lot of people think about imprinting as like this naughty, dirty word. Because if you think about historically with all the evil on Earth and the negative energy, people think about imprinting as, oh, somebody's, imprinting some negative energy on me, or perhaps connecting a negative core to me, and that's going to start draining my energy. So it's got a negative connotation to it. But the way it's been explained to me with these children, because they're so high vibrational, they don't operate at a frequency of fear, anger, hate. Like, it just, they don't resonate with that. So what they do is when our bodies meet, we have that energetic field. Everybody has it. Children's are much larger, and as adults, depending on our vibrational frequency, it could be, close to us or very far away. And as those children come into our energetic field, they will literally leave an imprint, an energetic imprint that resonates with their vibration in your energetic field, and it will last. It could last forever. It could last a week or two, but you will find yourself thinking about that child for that, what that child represents, you know, for a long period of time. I didn't think about this ahead of time, but they have, but I don't know if you could see this, but in my book, mm-hmm. here's an example. So the codes, they look like circles, but they have different lines and different mm-hmm. structures. So that's just an example, but each of the children have their own code. So they will imprint it in your energy field and they will have a lasting impression and can literally raise your vibration. And
I apologize. So they're kind of like not crystals, like the crystals you just mentioned. I'm talking about like a crystal, how the crystal has, it can have an imprint, right? That can last forever and ever and ever. So these children kind of similarly leave the same type of an impression or an imprint as a crystal would, or the benefits of a crystal.
Exactly. It's just energetic.
That's really neat.
When these children come through here, they're coming here for a very, very specific purpose. So it sounds to me, from what I'm understanding, they don't really have so much of a karma to play, right? Is they're here on a mission?
That's unusual.
And so was there a point in time where maybe, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, maybe you can help me, Sherry. Is there a time where karma stopped? Like where, like mm-hmm. the people that came in to, you know, deal with their karma, that stopped. And now it's just a matter of now, okay, we got cleanup crew coming, kind of thing like that.
Okay, so that's a cool question, because there's a lot of answers to it. And I've been talking about this a lot, especially with the clients that I've been working with. Because we're going into a higher vibration, I'm talking about adults real quick. Mm-hmm. Because we're going into a higher frequency collectively, you know, the earth, as Mother Earth shifts up, she's pulling us up with her. Just think about the moon and the tide. Because we're getting to that point in this winter solstice, I think is a huge time frame in our history with this vibrational frequency shift. Think about Mother Earth, literally like a moon pulling the tide. She's pulling all of us that are ready up with her. Like, hey, let's go. I'm going up to the fifth dimension or higher frequency. Those that are ready can join me up here. Children and animals, there's no mm-hmm. question. They just go. They don't need to be pulled. But we're being pulled energetically, which is why this winter solstice is so amazing, because we will feel that pull. And then all those that are not ready, that are in that third dimension, they'll just recycle back to the shore and remain where they are. And so because we knew this was coming mm-hmm. over the last few years, I believe people are working through letting go of their karma. And I don't think many people are consciously aware of it. But in my sessions, I am literally doing timeline merging. And what that means is I'm merging people's lifetimes together into one to literally take the weight off. There's no reason to go through karma anymore. This karmic cycle that we're in is not doing any good, because the negative energy on the earth keeps pulling us back in. So we're never going to get out of it if we don't do something.
How are you doing that? How are you merging someone's timelines?
Energetically. I have help from spirit, but they tell me how to do it. But I mean, if simplify it, just imagine each lifetime as a light, like a line that's illuminated white, and you literally pull them all together and you energetically remove any traumas from any lives. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter what it is. What I've been told by spirit is it's time to let it go. Take it off, remove it, so that we can move all the timelines together of each individual. Mm-hmm. And then we can raise our frequency like this, and we can shift the trajectory of humanity in a completely different direction.
So split personalities, does that have anything to do with with someone who's being trapped in previous lifetimes or previous past lives?
Or current timelines?
Or current timelines, that something's disconnected?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know 100%, but my belief is that they're tapping in to other timelines, and sometimes they're not consciously aware of which ones they're in, so they get and they're tapping into that energy of different ones, and they don't know which one they're in at any given time. Any of us can do that, but we're on a level. It's on a level where it's subconscious. So, like maybe when you're dreaming. Uh-huh. That happens, where you have a dream and you're like, oh man, I don't recognize that house, but I recognize the people. You are tapping into another one of your timelines. So they're doing that automatically in an awake state and not really recognizing which is their reality.
So I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this, because obviously you don't know the situation. I'm just going to kind of tell you what it was and maybe you can pick up on something, but somebody left a message on one of our shows recently, and they were talking, they asked there's anything they could do for their daughter, who that day, which was just a couple days ago, her daughter had 3 seizures in one day, and she's been trying to cope with her daughter's seizures. I mean, it's really gotten bad. And from the picture, I could probably say she probably was maybe 12 in around that age frame, age bracket. Is there a particular reason then why someone or children are having these, because I hear it frequently actually about the children having seizures. And is it something that they, that you could remove by pulling together their timelines, or is it something beyond that?
That's a difficult question because I think every situation is different. So if I were to talk to her mom, I'd need a lot more information about her circumstances, her diet, what kind of town does she live in, you know, because these new age children are very sensitive to food and, like I said, vaccines and the environment and the electromagnetic waves. And there's so many things that are infiltrating their pure bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's what happens is they get knocked off their vibration. Like their body wants to resonate at a high frequency, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nice integration process going on metaphysically and physically. And then when you eat something that knocks that balance, mm-hmm. your body will then react physically. Sometimes it can be serious. It could be seizures or headaches, or, you know, a lot of kids get chronic stomach aches, or they have mood disorders, things like that. That's an imbalance of that physical and metaphysical body. And there's a lot of factors that can contribute. So it would be different for everybody.
Are timelines similar, like parallel universe of sort? Would they be the same thing?
It's just called something different.
It would be. So basically,
I refer to it as a timeline, but it's really parallel universe
So would there be the three of us having a different experience right now somewhere else at this moment?
Yeah, we could be. Absolutely. Could.
And then when you merge that, is there like what's the experience like in it that, so if I'm having a different experience, let's say you're interviewing me right now in a different timeline, would I instinctively know that we merged, or is it just kind of like a, like what's that moment like, or that feeling, if that makes sense? I hope I'm asking that okay.
No, I know what you're saying. I don't know if there is a conscious awareness involved with a lot of people. Just think about it as you are cleaning out your house, you know, getting rid of all the clothes you're not wearing, and you're just getting rid of all the junk. That's the trauma, the anxiety, the things that are not needed, the patterns that you keep repeating. So that you can look around and your house is just clean and neat and new. So you have this awareness where you feel good, where you're balanced and you're at peace and you have clarity and perhaps excitement, but not necessarily on an energetic level now. But so there's not a conscious knowing for everybody. But a lot of people are aware of it, where they say, gosh, I just feel amazing. I feel different. Something has shifted. Something has changed. Suddenly I'm thinking about things I didn't think about before. Because you have knocked off, you've taken all that weight of that lower energy that's been kind of carrying, you've been carrying lifetime after lifetime, that's not necessary anymore. And I believe as we go into the higher dimensions and we get and we anchor in mm-hmm. with these children, anchor us in, we'll have our existence will be such in such a different space that we won't need to have all these timelines anymore.
Mm. When people talk about like, okay, I want to connect with my higher self, or, you know, whatever that may be for them, are they actually, is it their timeline that's sending them messages back and forth? Like, hey, kind of watch out for this, or their future, if you would, is that, or their, you know, that is sending them messages to kind of be aware of, is that what they're feeling? The actual message from themselves, or is it actually a guide of sorts that's an external, that's outside of them?
So we have, if you think about it, we have our soul. So Sherry, the essence of who I am is not Sherry in this physical body, in this time and space. So I'm receiving guidance when I tap into my higher self through the essence of me, that spark of light, that super consciousness that I have. So the information that you're receiving is from yourself, but in a higher dimension. So So it kind of trickles down into all of them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm going to try to repeat it back to you to make sure I got it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So yeah. Basically, if you have a higher self, that higher self is completely fully aware of what's going on. So that's your, call it your intuition in a sense. Yeah. So when you tap that higher self, when you tap that higher self, that's what's flowing under your intuition. So for example, do people mistake their higher self with, let's say, a guides or a God or something like that? Do they say, okay, well, this is my guide. My guide, Jack, is the one who's telling me, but is it really them?
So it can be. So the people that are kind of newer to it, or they don't have that discernment yet, they can confuse their guides, because guides are really, they'll get your attention anyway. They'll be real creative. And so sometimes them coming through, it will feel as though they're your own thoughts when really they're trying to communicate. So if you're not experienced with discerning where information is coming from, you may not know if it's your higher self or is it this guide coming through. So that kind of, that takes time to really tap in. Okay. So the higher vibration you are, the easier you'll be able to do that.
And I do want to touch on one thing you just said too, when we were talking about the children and the seizures and the illnesses. So are you saying then that it's really a lot, obviously it's the food and the environment and so forth and so on, but does it boil down to this, that there's a disconnect between the physical body and the metaphysical body? Like, are they fighting one another?
Yeah, because there's the alignment is off.
The alignment is off, right?
It doesn't drive well if the alignment is off. Mm-hmm. And so we have to put them back together.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. So when we going through this time right now, if you could kind of help us with this, Sherry, right? So going through this time right now, what do you think right now with so much confusion, what do you think we can all be doing? We obviously got the help of the children that are helping us there to help anchor us, but just in general, as a conscious decision that we need to make, what kind of tips or something can you help that will help us all raise our vibration together to get peace of regardless what happens here? You know what I mean?
Regardless of the outcome.
Regardless of outcomes of elections or strategies or whatever, just regardless, so we can just all be at that, you know what I mean? So we can raise that vibration. What do you think we need to do?
Yeah. So I think that number one is recognizing our emotional well-being really dictates the rest. And so if we are recognizing that we have more control, just in having an awareness or a mindfulness that you are, I like to refer to, it as the emotional high rise. Think about like a New York, you know, really high rise building, and the lower floors are fear, resentment, anger. This is what I teach in my classes. And that, and the middle floors are more balanced, and you know, you're somewhere in the middle. And then as you go to the higher floors, you're more at peace. You have clarity, your joy, happiness up there. So it's all about recognizing the fact that we go up and down this elevator of emotional fluctuations all day long, depending on our experiences and what happens to us. And so it's about recognizing and having an awareness that when we go into those lower floors, we are more susceptible to attracting the energy of lower vibrations to us, which can affect us physically, mentally, all of that, metaphysically. So it's about maintaining control. How do you get control over your emotional well-being is simply recognizing, oh, I don't like being in this lower vibration. I don't like being angry. I don't like fear. And you just make a mental choice. It's all about the right brain. If the cognitive side can convince you to stay there forever because of all your fears and pre-programming and all of that. So it's about recognizing it, raising your vibration by choice. And that's really easy to do by connecting with, there's different ways to do it, but connecting to the earth, recognizing that the answers come from within, not outward. You know, people are constantly looking for answers from this person or this famous person or this, you know, guru. And that's the wrong way to go. Like if everybody just took a second to take a pause and take some deep breaths and got the answers from within, from their heart, not their cognitive brain, but how does it make me feel? We would be walking around in a much higher vibration and in a much more peaceful mind frame. And then we can help others. So children are already there. So it's about the adults trying to figure out how to join them. And it's really all about discernment and recognizing that we have the answers to everything. with Greg.
I agree with you. Is there any truth to the fact that, you know, we all came in pure and then as adults, we were tainted at a certain age and, you know, we have to almost retrain ourselves to be like the children right now? Or was it just like, we're just who we were that came in and now there's just a special, if you would, just wave of children coming in?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question because there's a lot of answers for it. I think that we're all pure on some level, on a higher self, on a higher level, we all come pure. But when we come to this earth, it's very dense and we're heavily influenced because we're human beings. We're having a human experience. And as human beings, we have emotions and the emotions dictate everything. And so, you know, and I'm talking about, power and greed, all of that and fear. And once we're wrapped in that, it's all about how we, our environment is a factor. Our parents are a factor. How we're taught is a factor. And then you factor in all the energy that we're surrounded with. And if that can really shape us one way or another. So you can come in pure, but then your life circumstances shape you in a way that you end up going down a negative dark path. And we can have cycles of that. This is the karmic wheel I'm talking about. So you have a horrible life. Maybe you kill somebody, you come back and say, oh, I'll never do that again. And then similar circumstances happen. And then you just keep going down the cycles over and over again. And so that's why we've gotten into a point in humanity where the powers that be, whatever you want to say, said, okay, that this is enough. We're going to bring in advanced ascended masters, high vibrational souls, evolved wisdom filled beings to come in because they're not able to be infiltrated by what keeps happening to a majority of us. They are in control of their emotions. It may not seem that way with the children when they're young and, you know, they're having tantrums, but they will work their way out of that. But then there are also those on earth that come time after time and they're light beings that just are pure light and they never go dark, but they keep coming back so that they can help the rest of us that are struggling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything to the fact of Sherry that, okay, so you talk about 3D, 5D, kind of like, you know, raising consciousness. Can that go in reverse? So a negative 3D, a negative 5D, similarly, given that same person that's going negative, a same kind of, let's call it strength, power, or energy, but just at a negative way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I don't know necessarily if I would call it a negative 3D or a negative 5D. I think that it's the emotion, the energetic power that they collectively can get. But at the end of the day, they're not powerful at all because they can't create anything. So really their power comes from our fear and our negative vibration. So once we move past that, they lose all of their power. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a negative 3D or a negative 5D. I think just dark is dark.
Dark is dark. Okay, cool. One last question for you before you love and leave is that do you think we are the gods and goddesses here, or do you think that, you know, incarnate of sorts, or are we all that? Should we be looking outside for some aliens, some different planetary things that are actually guiding us, or are we it?
I think that it's a combination. I think we are God and goddesses. I think ascended masters and high vibrational beings have incarnated in human form to help us. But I also think we're being guided by God and archangels and higher dimensional beings that are working behind the scenes, so to speak, energetically to help us go down the right path.
Okay.
Just like right. There's dark energy, there's love and light energy that's way more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right on, everybody. Okay, Sherry DeBond, everybody. That was really great. I really thank you. Enjoyed that conversation with you. Can you let everybody know how they can connect with you? If they want a session with you, they want to check out more about how to learn more about you.
Purchase
your books.
Yeah, so intuitivewellnesscenter.com. That's my website. It has a lot of information. My books are Intuitive Transformation Evolution and Divinely Guided, and they're both available on Amazon.
Okay. And if people live in Maryland, they can actually come see you, right?
Yeah, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C.
Wonderful. Wow. Okay. Right on, everybody. We'll have links here for you to check out here, Sherry. So, Sherry, thank you very much. That was really great. Really enjoyed that.
Having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Aww, likewise. And I hope you had a lot of fun too, everybody. And I hope this brought you peace today. Thank you for
learned
letting
a
us
lot.
In your home. Yep.
The divine. I always love talking about the children. Any, you know, whether the crystals or anything, but the divine children. That's so sweet, and it's.
Yeah.
It was new information for us for sure. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And thank you everybody for watching. And together we are turning the universal key to global harmony, and we are creating a unified world. Thank you everybody for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.